Please turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts and chapter 16. We will read and reflect upon only three verses. We pick up the reading from verse 13. We'll read on to 15. Acts 16 from verse 13. On the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. We continue this morning to reflect on the conversions of the Bible. That's been our subject over the last several weeks. And we have considered many conversions. Perhaps I shouldn't say many, but quite a few. We've looked at the conversion of the prodigal son, the Philippian jailer, and the Ethiopian eunuch. We have also looked at the case of an apostate, someone who thought they were believers, but in fact they weren't, and end up rejecting the Lord and the gospel altogether. Last Sunday morning, our brother Mr. Cheta took us through the case of Simon Magus, another false conversion. This morning, I'd like to speak about the conversion of a woman called Lydia. The account is found in the book of Acts, of course, and in this verse, these verses that I have already read to us. And it happened during Paul's second missionary journey. And in that journey, his intention was to revisit the churches he had already established in order to strengthen them in the faith. As Paul and Silas journeyed, they came to a town called Lystra, where they found a young man called Timothy, who joined them on their journey. Later, they arrived at yet another town called Troas, on the western coast of Asia Minor. And while there, Paul received a vision of a man of Macedonia who was calling out to him and to his fellow laborers, "Come over to Macedonia and help us," he said. And so immediately they set sail across the Aegean Sea and landed at the port of a city called Neapolis and went on to Philippi, which was the largest city of Macedonia. While Paul and company were at Philippi, we read about the conversion of Lydia there. Now, there are other people they witnessed to, they ministered to in Philippi. It was there that Paul cast out demons from a lady, and it was there that he ministered to the jailer, often known as the Philippian jailer. And of course, it was here that this lady, Lydia, was converted as well. Now, before we reflect on her conversion, let us stop to think about who Lydia was. Who was she? Obviously, we don't know a lot about her, but we do know a few things, two things in particular. First, she was a businesswoman. So to be a businesswoman is not necessarily wrong. Paul does not condemn it. And her business was to sell purple goods. I think it's the NIV which says she was a seller of purple clothing. We don't know whether it was just clothing or other things purple as well. At this occasion, she was trading about over two miles, whatever that stands for in kilometers, a little over 4 kilometers. And she was in a town called Thyatira on the other side of the Aegean Sea. And she was enjoying some good business there. Another thing we know about her is that she was possibly a proselyte, which means a Gentile who had converted to the Jewish religion. Indeed, here in verse 14, she is simply referred to as one who worshipped God. And often, when that description is given, it was not a reference to a Jew, because a Jew was in fact marked by that. So it was only something of significance if it was a Gentile who nonetheless had converted to Judaism. And this is what had happened to her. It appears that there were very few Jews, or in fact, worshippers of God, proselytes, in Philippi. Because if there were many Jews, there would have been a synagogue established. But there was no synagogue. There weren't many enough Jews or converts to Judaism to justify the existence of a synagogue. And so people met by the riverside. The place there at the riverside had been set apart for prayer or worship purposes. She joined the other women to worship, therefore. And clearly, she did not stand on the fence of the Jewish religion. She was an active participant in it. Presumably, she was familiar with the Word of God as we have it in the Old Testament. She would have contributed to the work of God. Maybe as a businesswoman, she might have contributed handsomely at a financial level to the Lord's work. Nevertheless, her heart was still closed to the gospel. A worshipper of God, religious, active in her religion, but her heart was closed to the gospel. And the point we learn from that is that it is possible to be a worshipper of God, to go to church often, to attend prayer meetings, to financially contribute to the Lord's work, to sing in a choir and to do other religious things besides, and still not be converted to Christ, and still to have your heart closed to the gospel. And we have many examples in the Bible of people who were thoroughly religious, but also thoroughly lost. You know about Nicodemus. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council, which was a religious council. A man of good standing and well respected, seemed to be a leading religious man in his community. And yet he was not converted. He was not a Christian. His heart was closed to the gospel, as it were. And then you know about the rich young ruler who wanted to know how he could inherit eternal life. And Jesus asked him, "What do the commandments say?" And he went through the commandments. And the young man said, "All of that I have done." He had been endeavoring in his life to live according to the law. He knew the law and he was endeavoring to live according to the law. And yet, his heart was closed to the gospel. You might be such a person. You are religious. You come to church regularly. Oh, maybe, years ago, you were even baptized. But the truth is, the fact is, your heart is actually closed to the gospel. You don't know it. You don't understand it. You don't love it. It is not the gospel that drives your religious activity. Although you are religious, a worshipper of God, you are perfectly dead. You are not a Christian. Lydia was such a person. And this brings us to the questions. And these are really the questions I want us to consider together this morning. How was Lydia converted? And how did she express her conversion? Let's begin with the question, how Lydia was converted. Well, we notice first of all that the Lord brought a preacher to her. The Lord brought a preacher to her. We need preachers. Preachers who are officially called to bring the gospel like I am. Or preachers who simply speak to us one-on-one. They are gossipers of the gospel. We need preachers. You need a preacher. The Bible says, how can they call upon him? How can they call upon Jesus, whom they have not heard? You need to hear the gospel, and you need to hear it from a preacher. So the Lord brought a preacher to her. And he comes in the form of the Apostle Paul. When Paul arrived in Philippi, God led him outside the gate to the riverside, where he and his companions supposed they would find a place of prayer. There, they found a group of women had already gathered. Oh, women are such a blessed people, aren't they? I remember preaching in a church years ago in Port Elizabeth. And that is in South Africa. And in this church, for the first full hour, there were only women in the church. No men. except the minister and myself, for a whole hour, only women in the church. After an hour, the men began to trickle in. One by one, they trickled in, and they were all sitting at the back, almost uninterested in what was going on, almost unwilling. And because the men were cowardly and on the fence, the women literally ran the church. It was a woman who led the service. And it was women who were playing the role of deacons. And I asked the minister about it. What's going on here? And he said, there are no men. In many places it's like that. Women are a blessed people. And here they are, here. Gathered there. And when Paul got there, he found women. Willing to pray. Willing to listen. And he and the others sat down and spoke to these women, we are told in verse 13. What did he say to them? We are only told that he spoke to them. What did he speak? We are not told. But because Lydia's conversion was to the Lord, we can comfortably say he preached about the Lord. And when the New Testament uses the word Lord, it is referring to Jesus Christ. You remember in chapter 16, when he spoke to the Philippian jailer, the jailer had asked them, "Men, sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they told him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." There is no doubt that at this occasion he spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. He must have told them about who Jesus is. He is the Lord. He is the Son of God. He is all powerful. Nothing shall be impossible with him. He can raise the dead. He can heal the blind. He can redeem souls. He can transform the worst of sinners, the most wicked of men or women. He is the Lord, the Son of God. He must have told them about what Jesus came to do. His name actually means the one who will save his people. He must have told them about that. And as we study the New Testament, we know that he came to save basically by taking the place of sinners and laying down his life for them. Sinners have done wrong. And through their wrong, through their sinfulness, they are at enmity with God. And if that state of enmity would remain, they would die in their sins and go to hell. And Jesus comes to prevent that from happening. And so he took their place and went to the cross to die their death. And before he died, he suffered much. He suffered much at the hands of cruel men who insulted him and slapped him and mocked him, did all manner of indignities against him. Eventually, they hung him on a cross And he stayed there for hours on end, suffering such excruciating pain, all the while under the consciousness of the fact that God, his own Father, had forsaken him and left him at the mercy of these cruel men to suffer not just the pain they were inflicting, but to suffer the equivalent of hell itself because God had forsaken him. And he died. Not because he was a sinner. Not because he had thought a sinful thing, or said a sinful thing, or done a sinful action, but because he was doing it in the place of men and women and children who had done those things. He was literally taking their sin upon himself and suffering the penalty that is due to it. And he did that. He died. He rose from the dead, indicating that he had overcome sin and death. He had overcome these hateful and cruel people who had subjected him to that. He told them about all that. Instead of sinners dying, he died. Instead of sinners suffering, he suffered. In that way, he had indicated, he was pronouncing, he was placarding the fact of God's love for his people. He told them about all that. That they need to believe in that, to be saved. That they need to repent of their sins, to be saved. That they need to turn from their sin, from their old ways, and believe in this Jesus, and follow this Jesus, and call upon this Jesus to rescue them from sin in order to be saved. He must have also told them about the need to confess their faith in baptism. That, no doubt, is what he shared with them. The Lord brought a preacher to them, but in a very special sense, he brought a preacher to Lydia. Because only her, but not just her, it would also appear her household, whoever was a member of her household, was also there at that meeting. He also brought a preacher to them. There is a second thing about how Lydia was converted. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul was saying. The Lord opened her heart. Just listen to this. In verse 14. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. It wasn't normal for Jews or people of the Jewish sort to hear a message on Jesus, who to their mind was not the Messiah. They didn't esteem him. They didn't care for him. But something strange is happening here. This woman heard them. The people of the way, the Christians, the apostles of Jesus Christ. She heard them. And furthermore, the Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart. What did it mean for the Lord to open her heart? Well, in order to understand what is going on here, we need to appreciate, first of all, the fact that by nature, the heart is closed to the gospel. We are all born in that condition. The condition in which our hearts are closed to the gospel. Both those who are religious and the non-religious. All of us have hearts that are closed to the gospel. And what that means is that these hearts by nature refuse to accept the gospel. They refuse to receive the gospel. In her natural condition, Lydia's whole inner life, Lydia's whole soul, her thoughts, her desires, her conscience, her will, were all impenetrable to the truth of the gospel. That's what she was by nature. The scriptures tell us that the mind of a natural man is blind. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. If you are not a believer this morning, it doesn't matter what you think about yourself. It doesn't matter how religious you are. If you are not a believer this morning, you are blind by nature. Ephesians 4 verse 18 says, the understanding is darkened and the heart is hard as a stone. Lydia was like that by nature. Consequently, Jesus himself says in John chapter 6 and verse 37, no one can come to me. No one can come to me. However religiously polished you might be, you can't come to Christ on your own. You may have been born in a Christian family. You may have been taught the gospel. You may have been taught the word. You might have heard it every day. Even that does not position you to come to Christ on your own. No one can come to me, Jesus says. You may have grown up in a Baptist church, or better still, in a Reformed Baptist church. Even that does not necessarily empower you to come to Jesus on your own. Lydia, therefore, could not come on her own. The Lord opened her heart. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it means God caused the heart to be receptive. God caused her heart to be receptive to what Paul was saying. God caused her heart to understand what Paul was saying. God opened her heart to receive what Paul was saying. It's like in a home, you have power in the home. We thank God for Zesco. They bring power to our homes, not always. Sometimes when we really need it, it doesn't come. It's Sometimes even when they tell us they won't switch off, they switch off. Power is there. But you know, for those lights to come on, you need to switch on. You need to switch it on. You need to touch that switch and put it on. Then the power will come on. Without putting on the switch, the light will not come on. Well, the power was there. The word was there. The preacher was there. But the switch needed to be put on. And only God could do that. God opened her heart. He turned on the switch so she could see this light, so she could see this gospel. Unless the Lord does that, you cannot see. You cannot love the gospel. You cannot choose the gospel. The Bible has the same figurative language in many other places. Listen to what the prophet Ezekiel said about this in chapter 36 and verse 26. He says, "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." The heart of stone cannot receive the gospel. It is too hard for the gospel to land there. When the Lord opens the heart, He takes away that heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh, so that when the word comes, it can land there. It can be received there. And it can begin to bear fruit there. The Lord opened her heart. The Lord unlocked whatever kept her from understanding the truth. He unlocked it so the truth could flow, so the truth could be understood. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, Paul says, "God has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The same way that He caused the light to shine out of darkness at the beginning when He was creating the world, even so He causes the light to shine in your heart, so you can see the truths of God, so you can understand the truths of God. And the world pretends to understand, don't they? Some of the scientists of our day, they present themselves as people who have understood and they have come to the conclusion there is no God. And the truth of God's word is of no consequence. It's not important. That belongs to the realm of the mystical. The truth is the science. How much have we continued to hear those words? The science. No, I believe in science. Don't get me wrong. But the science is not the truth. Science often tells us, "Oh, it's not as we thought." So 20 years ago, they thought this was the truth. 20 years down the line, it's not as we thought. It's not as we thought. We are not very sure. We are not very sure. We still need to study this. It's not the truth. It can be an expression of truth. The truth is as God has it, as God would have it. When science corresponds exactly with what God believes, with what God reveals, it becomes the truth. When it contradicts what he says, it's not the truth. Doesn't matter what those PhD holders think. And many of them don't understand the gospel. They have no insight into the gospel. They are blind. Like every other natural man, they are blind. The political leaders of our day, who are striving to be politically correct as if the politics is what has become the truth. And they are careful not to mention God in their speeches. Careful not to include God in their ethics. Poor men and women, they are blind. God needs to open their hearts, like he did for Lydia here. And when the Lord opened her heart, that leads us to our second point. We're going to run through this. How did Lydia express her faith, her conversion? Remember, the Lord opened her heart first. Only then, and only then, could she express her faith. How did she? Well, there are three things she did. Three things. First of all, she paid heed to the things spoken by Paul. Not that in verse 14. The Lord opened our heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. In other words, she repented. She believed. She responded to Paul's message, as the NIV would put it. It was the Lord's call to open her heart, but it was her responsibility to respond to that message. The Lord must open your heart, but it is your responsibility to respond to the message. It is your responsibility to repent from sin. It is your responsibility to believe in the gospel, to put your faith in the gospel. To fail to do that is to increase your guilt. Because God is calling, God is commanding you to repent and to believe. When you don't do it, you break the law of God. You become guilty. And for that you will be judged. Lydia heeded. That's how she expressed her conversion. Secondly, she showed her genuine submission to the Lord by going through baptism. Listen to this. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Baptism is not conversion. I repeat, baptism is not conversion. But it is the command of Christ for people who are converted to subject themselves to. It is an expression of the fact that they have been converted. It is an expression of the fact that they have turned their backs on sin and on Satan. And they have turned their hearts to the Lord. It is an expression of that. It's an expression of the fact that they have crossed the line, as the children of Israel did, as they headed to Canaan from Egypt. The line was the Red Sea. As long as they were on this side of the line, they were under Pharaoh. When they crossed the Red Sea over to the other side of the line, they were under Moses. Crossing the Red Sea was a baptism into Moses. Similarly, your baptism is a mark of the fact that you have crossed the line that separates you from the world and from sin, and you've gone over to Christ. You've been baptized into Christ. You've become a follower of Christ. To refuse to be baptized is to say you are not willing to openly and publicly identify yourself to Christ. That you are not publicly a follower of Christ. You may be a private one, but you are not willing to make it public. And if you are a true professor of Christ, shame on you that you are not baptized, that you are not willing to follow him in this way. Lydia, with the whole of her household, was willing to do that. I ask you, has your heart been opened? Has the Lord done that? Have you believed on Jesus Christ? And have you been baptized? You must be baptized as well. There's a third thing she did to express her conversion. She identified with the Lord's servants. She identified with the Lord's servants. In verse 15, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded them. Having become a Christian, she now regards Paul and his companion as a part of her family. Now, this was a big thing. Paul is the man who had left Judaism. He had been a teacher, a rabbi in Judaism. When he left Judaism, he had become something of a persona non grata. He would have been among those that if he was a Muslim, Muslim leaders would have declared war on him. But now, this Jewish woman, this proselyte, considers Paul and his companions her family. If you consider me faithful to the Lord, come to my house. And she had hoped that Paul and the others would regard her as such, a sister. So she invited them to her home, and she would not take no for an answer. She persuaded them. The point, brothers and sisters, is that when we are converted, we regard the church as our new family. We join the church. We devote ourselves to the church as the early church believers did in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. No sooner did they become believers than they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. They did not remain on the fence of the church. They were not more in the world than they were in the church. They became a part of the church. They were devoted to the church. They participated in the church. They continued steadfastly in the fellowship. That's a mark of conversion. If you become a Christian and there are no churches for you to join, that's understandable if you didn't join one. But if the church is there, and many of us are converted to the church, how can we choose not to join the church? How can we choose not to be a part of the family of God? I put it to you that to be indifferent toward the church could be an indication that you are not converted at all. If you are not among those who say on a daily basis, I was glad, very glad, when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. No desire for the church. No desire to be united to the church. No desire to function in the church. You may not be saved, my friend. You may not be converted. Things must be keeping you away from church. But you have a desire, a longing to be there. And when you have the opportunity to plunge yourselves into it, that's a mark of grace. And Lydia had it. So I end by saying, conversion is when the Lord opens your heart to believe the gospel, to be converted to God. And this is exemplified in Lydia. She knew little about the Lord, but the Lord opened her hearts. She believed. She heeded. She was baptized. She became a part of the family of God. Go and do the same. Go and do the same. Don't do nothing about what you have heard. Go and do the same. And may God richly bless you. Amen.